Well, good morning, Life Co. We are excited, a packed house once again. If you could squeeze in, I know there's a couple of people out in the lobby that are watching in our overflow room, but so excited about what God's doing. God is just growing us internally and externally. Yeah. So we are in this series called The Company. Like, join the company, because we are Life Co., Life Company, a company of believers with a common purpose, and that is to glorify God and to worship Him. Amen. And so we've got a common purpose of seeing Jesus glorified in our lives. And I want to continue in this series in a message that I've titled, Why We Gather. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would move by your Holy Spirit amongst our church, in these chairs, God, in the aisles, in every place in this building. Holy Spirit, come and reveal the truth to us today, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, that where you are is where we want to be. And when we gather in your name, you promised us that you are there. So, Lord, we take hold of you right now. Teach us your word. Jesus, like the disciples sitting on the mountainside and hearing you speak, God, speak to each heart today, every life, every heart, Lord, every marriage, every person, every individual, every relationship. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch us all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to start with a story from the Gospels. It's always good to start with a story. And the Gospels are filled with so many awesome stories. But the thing about when you read the Gospels, there's so much meat in the context or in the text itself that if you slow down enough, you can see nuggets of truth that come out so that you can have this Bible. I've been serving Jesus for 41 years, and you can have this Bible as you see it's worn out. But I've read many scriptures over and over again. We're going to read from John chapter 11 this morning, but you know, I could go back to John 11, the raising of Lazarus, and it just speaks something new to me. That's the kind of God that we serve. He continues to renew our minds, and he renews our hearts, and he says something different to us. How many know we don't follow the letter of the law? You must do X, Y, and Z, and then God will do A, B, and C. No, we want to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, and he speaks through his word. And that's what I'm going to believe for today with you. So this is John chapter 11 that we're going to go to. And the background of it is that Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead. You all know that story. He raised Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. He was dead. The miracle of raising the dead ruffled the feathers of the Pharisees and the scribes. The religious leaders of that day, they were bothered by the fact that Jesus did such awesome, astounding, wondrous miracles in their midst. And they're like, how can this be? He heals on the Sabbath. He can't be from God. Right? His disciples don't wash their hands properly. They don't follow the letter of the law. He can't be from God. But Jesus continued to astound them with the miracles that he did. The other part of this is that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And the Jews believed that the spirit of a man or a person stays in their body until for 3 days, and then on the 4th day, that's when they're really dead. Right? And so Jesus delayed his going to Bethany to heal or to raise Lazarus from the dead on purpose. He's such a revolutionary Jesus. He waits on purpose, so he goes on the 4th day when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes would say, he'll never get out of that tomb. Lazarus can never. And Jesus, with a word out of his mouth, says, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus comes out of the grave. They were bothered by it. So let's pick up the story in John chapter 11. It says this, then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. What are we going to do? They asked each other. This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army, they're going to come and destroy both our temple and our nation. Let me tell you something. Pharisees and leading priests were supposed to be the religious people or the God representatives of that day. Where was their faith? When they said, and we make the same mistake sometime, church, what are we going to do? Hello? What am I going to do about the circumstance that I'm in? And I said it last week, when we're in that in-between place, we're so tempted to grab hold of something to try to make an answer come about. But God says, when you put your faith in me, you don't necessarily see it right away, but I'm doing something and I could do something so much better than you could ever do. I could work all things together for your good and for my glory. Amen. Because we're called to live by faith. We're called to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. So the Pharisees and the leading priests, where was their faith? Where was their faith? Let's continue with the story. Verse 49, Caiaphas, who was high priest at that time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." He did not say this on his own as high priest at that time. He was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation. Let me stop for a minute. There were priests in the tabernacle and in the temple, and then there was the high priest, selected by God to serve on the Day of Atonement to bring the blood of an innocent animal behind the veil into the Holy of Holies and to sprinkle the blood from that sacrifice upon the mercy seat. And then the sins of the children of Israel would be forgiven. And they rejoiced on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That was their day to be forgiven of all their sins, right? And so Caiaphas, he shifts the conversation away from what's Jesus going to do to prophesying that Jesus, what he was going to do was die for the entire nation so that the nation wouldn't be destroyed. They thought that the nation would be destroyed by Jesus being followed, but Jesus came actually to die for the nation. Are you with me? When he raised Lazarus from the dead, it brought the family of Lazarus back together. But when Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus went to the cross for you and for me, he died in our place so that the entire body, the entire human race, all those who believe in him could come to him. Because look at what Caiaphas said in verse 52. He said, and not only for that nation, meaning the Jewish nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. Listen, so here's my first point. God's plan in Christ is to bring us all together. Listen, we have salvation call at the end of every service, and people raise their hand, I want to give my life to Jesus. People go into the baptismal, and they want to be baptized to represent an outward expression of an inward work of what Christ has done in their lives, right? We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we come out of the waters of resurrection, of baptism, we come into the newness of life where God makes everything new again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? And we walk in that newness now as believers. Somebody say amen. But it's more than that. It's more than what God does for us individually. He said not only does he want to save the nation of Israel and the entire world, but he died so that he could bring together. Come on, somebody. That he could bring together all those children of God scattered around the world. Come on. Are you getting it? So Jesus died and rose again, not just for us to be forgiven, not just for us to have newness of life, but to bring us all together as his children. Our missions team recently got back from Niger on a missions trip there. And they will tell you that they have brothers and sisters in Christ on the other side of the world that might not even speak the same language as them, but they are brothers and sisters in Christ. There's just something about it. Listen, if I met you in the world, you probably wouldn't like me. Maybe. Maybe I wouldn't like you. But isn't it so powerful that when we come together, it's like I love you more than my blood brother. I mean, I love my blood brother. Do you see what I mean? There's such a bond that we have together. Why? Because we have the same Father. We have the same Lord and Master Jesus. We have the same Spirit living in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and in me. We follow the same Word of God. Right? And that same Spirit. So even here right now, we are gathered together because God brought us together. You might say, oh, somebody dragged me to church. Well, maybe. But God used that person and dragged you to church. Listen, I talk to people all the time that are going to get, we had to call people that were going to get baptized today. And hey, why do you want to be baptized and everything? And people say things like, I just know that I want to give my life to Jesus. And I found your church and I want to be baptized and be part of what God is doing at your church. Where does that come from? That comes from Jesus bringing together, right? Caiaphas prophesied it, to bring us together from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. To bring us all together, because that's his heart for us to be together. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Come on, we can give God praise for that. He dwells in you. Amen and amen. Here's my second point. We are the New Testament priests of God. So now God has made a way for us not just to be saved, not just to experience newness of life, not just to be together, but that we have a function to be the New Testament priesthood. Amen. The New Testament priest. So you heard the story about Caiaphas being the high priest and prophesying about Jesus. Well, let me tell you about the Old Testament priests. They offered up sacrifices to God. This was their form of worship. The priesthood was a type of the ministry of the coming Messiah, who would offer himself as the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. There were priests, and then there was the high priest. He would be taken from among the priests to be the one to bring the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. We talked about that. He would take the blood of the animal sacrifice and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. But there came a day that this practice would come to an end. This practice of sacrificing animals on the altar would come to an end. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus comes on the scene, the Son of God, God the Son, coming on the scene. And he is our high priest. And the very purpose for him being the high priest was to bring the sacrifice before the Father into heaven. But not only was he the high priest, but he was the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. He brought his own blood before the Father on behalf of you and me and everyone else. He did it for us so that we can be forgiven, and so that we could come together and we could have access to him. So now we've been called the priests in his house. What do the priests do? The priests minister to God in worship, and the priests minister to people on behalf of God. The priests minister to God in worship, and the priests minister to people on behalf of God. And we, as the priesthood, have that same role. Well, I'm just going to stay home today. You know, it's snowing. I got one flake in the middle of Richmond, and they canceled classes. And so, therefore, they canceled for the next 2 weeks because the 10-day forecast said. Listen, I grew up in New York. I got up, and the bus came at 10 after 7, and my street was plowed by 6 a.m. And I lived on a cul-de-sac. And the bus would pick us up at 10 after 7 with chains on the wheels. The wheels on the bus go chink, 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 chink. That's what it was. It's like we never got off. Here it's like, okay, winter break is for 3 weeks. And then, okay, we might have a little dusting. So everybody stay home for another 2 weeks. Man, I'm glad my kids are grown. But I feel it. I feel it. I hear it from my kids, with my grandkids. But you are a priest. 1 Peter 2:9. And you also. That's talking about you. Somebody said he's talking about me. Yes, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called to minister to God in worship, and to minister for God to each other. Amen? Amen? Now I want to bring you to the book of Hebrews. Is this okay if we go a little deep for a minute? How's this been so far? Everyone good? Okay, the main course is about to be served. The appetizers were good. The salad was good. The cheese sticks were good. Oh man, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting hungry. Where are we going for lunch, honey? I have to stop. Brain, come back. Okay. Spirit, come back. Hebrews chapter 10. They don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, but he's speaking to Hebrew Christians. What happened to I thought I had a napkin, but I don't. If somebody can get me a tissue, I'd greatly appreciate it. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you ready? You ready to put your seatbelts on? Get ready for takeoff. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Oh, it's got some thickness to it, too. I need that. Absorb a few layers. Hebrews 10:1, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. It's talking about the Old Testament. But now Christ fulfilled that Old Testament, starting with verse 11. Under the Old Covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest, capital H, capital P, our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Wow. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who were being made holy. Whew. What are you talking about, Pastor Lenny? He's calling me perfect? Yes. Ha! Did I say behaviorally? No. He calls you perfect positionally. Because once you come to Christ, the blood of Christ is your atonement. It's your covering. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see you when you're in Christ. He sees Christ, who is your covering. And he sees the perfection of his Son. And all we have to be is in Christ. So positionally, we are made holy, worthy, and perfect before God. Now wait. The rest of that verse says, for by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Whoa, is that a contradiction of terms? No, because underneath this covering, I'm saying, Jesus, make me more like you today. Jesus, I need you. I receive your atonement. I receive your righteousness. I receive your justification, Lord. I receive forgiveness of all my sins, Lord, for all time. But Lord, I come to you and I ask you, make me more like you, Lord. You must increase and I must decrease. God, make me a little bit more like you today than I was yesterday. God, let me walk a little bit closer to you today. Let me know you. Let me know your word, God. I pursue you and I want to know what you're saying to me. I want to hear the Spirit whispering to me and telling me where I'm going and what I'm doing and where I've been and what you have for me today. Listen, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus and I want to be more like underneath this covering. Man, that's good gospel preaching. Now, this is what it means for us, starting with verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. I'm going to say it to you. Because this message is to you. Let us go right into the presence of God. Well, I was a bad person this week. I had a bad year. I didn't do this, didn't do that. I'm holding unforgiveness. Listen, go right into the presence of God. Because you're not going in your own righteousness. You're not going in your own goodness. You're going in the righteousness of God in Christ. For he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Woo! My Lord, two services of preaching this truth. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood. Come on, that's the New Testament application of what they did in the Old Testament, of what the priest did, sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat, for we have received the rich mercy of God in Christ, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. There was a laver of water in the Holy of Holies that after the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, the priest would wash his hands in the laver and the water became bloody, but his hands became clean. And we too have become pure in what Christ has done for us. We no longer have to go through the priest. Listen, I'm going to admit it. If you didn't already know it, I was born and raised Catholic. I'm just going to say it. I was born and raised Catholic. And I love Catholic people. Don't get me wrong here. I love Catholic people. But I was taught you got to go through the priest to get to God. I had to go through the priest to get an interpretation of the Word of God. I had to go through the priest to get forgiven of my sins. Hello? I had to go through the priest to be able to receive communion. Right? Everything was done through this priest. But when I came to Christ, I was like, that ain't right. Amen. That's not biblical. Amen. Listen, we can go express right to Jesus. Jesus is there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Come on, and I go directly. Come on, you need to get your easy pass and forget waiting on all those lines and talking to other people and talking to the toll booth. Listen, you need to go right through. You don't need to pay for anything. You go right through on the easy pass line. The express lane to God through Jesus Christ. Come on, no waiting in line. No waiting because you're not worthy and somebody else is more worthy than you and God doesn't have time for me. None of that. We could come express right into His presence. So go right in. Go ahead. Go right in. Well, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. Man, there needs to be a shift in our minds about this. Go right in. Well, I can't. Yes, you can. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what kind of upbringing you had. I don't care what kind of dregs you've lived in. I don't care what kind of dirt is on your feet. I don't care where you've been. I'm here to say when you come to Christ, you are cleansed and you are washed and you are new. And you have access to Him. You don't have to go through the priest. You don't have to go through Mary. You don't have to go through the saints. You don't have to go through some dead uncle to get to God. I love you. I love you. Mr. Catholic, I love you. Watching, I love you. But I love the truth. But I love the truth. Three people clapped. I wrote a poem. No, I called it prose. And I said, is there any English teachers in here? One. English teachers, okay. We had Edder, who's a math teacher, but he's no help at all. So I said I wrote a prose, which is not a poem because it doesn't rhyme. But my friend told me, it's called a free verse poem. And I wrote it. And God gave it to me for you. And I'm going to read it. It's going to be on the screen. I'm going in. It's called I'm Going In. I'm going in. I'm going in. Got nothing to fear. Nothing holding me back. There's a clear path. I've been washed clean. No dirty heart. No dirty hands. I've been forgiven. I've got to touch the hem of his garment. Let his virtue flow. I'll be made whole. I'm going in. I'm going in. Hey, how about you say it with me again? Ready, set, go. We're nice and loud. I'm going in. I'm going in. Got nothing to fear. Nothing holding me back. There's a clear path. I've been washed clean. No dirty heart. No dirty hands. I've been forgiven. I've got to touch the hem of his garment. Let his virtue flow. I'll be made whole. I'm going in. I'm going in. Woo! Yeah, my pen was just going last night for you. Okay, here's our instruction. Back to Hebrews 10. Come on, you got to study Hebrews 10. Hebrews, it's a great book. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Now, this is instruction for us. Listen, don't let go of your hope. Oh, I had a good week last week, but, you know, this week, you know, I don't know. No, don't let go of your hope. Hope is supposed to be like an anchor that holds you steady. It holds you in one place. You're supposed to be before the presence of God always. How many know he's always with us? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. No, 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 never. Is the translation. Never, never, never will I leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us. He's God with us. Emmanuel. So don't lose hold. Let us hold tightly. Don't lose your grip. You getting what I'm saying? Don't lose your grip on Jesus. Without wavering. Verse 24, let us think of ways, now he's going corporate, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. That's where, hey, we're family. What do you do with family? When we get together as family, man, we've got a lot to say to each other. Good things. Right? We get together for birthdays and we go around the table and we say what we love about the birthday person. And it's just so, that changes the atmosphere. Here's a gift I got for you. You know, when we do things for, listen, we're brothers and sisters. We ought to be doing things for each other. Living life together. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. And verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I asked the Lord, I said, what is the encourage one another part? Where does that belong? Does it belong that we encourage one another to come to church? Hey, don't neglect the gathering of yourself together, as is the habit of some, and even so, more so as you see the day approaching. Or is it, but even more so, encourage one another when you're in the house of God? Isn't this wonderful? How could not everyone out there want to be here? Am I just preaching to myself? How could you not want to be here? Man, I don't care about football. I'm sorry. I love football. I played football in high school. Third string, never played. We were up 42-0, and they put me in with 2 minutes left. And then I ran off the field. The coach said, Porch, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I thought you called me off the field. So the one opportunity I had to play one play the whole season after doing double sessions and lifting weights with all the first stringers, they put me in finally, and then I ran off the field. I love football. I'm not bitter. I'm better. No, listen, there's nothing wrong with football. But how could you not want to be here? J. Jesus said, let's move on. There are powerful benefits in us gathering together. I got to get right to it. I got 59 seconds. There are powerful benefits of us gathering together. Are you ready? We are unified in worship and praise. We're all singing the same song to Jesus. That is unity. Psalm 133, behold how pleasant, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Right? The unity of us singing the same praise and worship to God. Wow. And the truths that have been coming through these songs, Greg and Amy, the truths that have been coming through these songs that you select have been so powerful. Thank you for what you do. Number two, we experience his presence. Matthew 18 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. Not I might be there. I'll think about showing up. If you're good this week, I might come. No, it just takes two or three. What about two or 300? Think about the power that is in this room. The presence of God. How could we not want to be with Jesus? Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, could everyone just lift up your hand and touch him? Touch Jesus? Touch him? He is touching you. He is here right now. He is with you with what you're going through. He knows exactly where you've been, and he knows exactly what to do about your situation. He is here to meet your need. The presence of God is tangible in this place. This close. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. For being where we are. Lord, we just thank you today. Lord, all the other benefits, Lord, of gathering together, God, we join forces of faith, God. Lord, we fulfill the Great Commission, Lord. All these great things that happen when we're in your presence. In us gathering together, Lord, we're encouraged when we pray for each other. God, so many awesome benefits of serving you and being with you. Father, we pray the blessing of the Lord to be on your people, and that blessing is your presence that goes with them. God, until we meet again, until we come together again and gather in your name, we give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.